Professor Munger, Ingrid Gregg, and Lunar Ely. I'm delighted to be here. Can you hear this now? There we go. We need a national action plan. That's our answer. Ryan Dunn? Okay. Entrepreneurship. That's my other answer. Okay, now I've given you the right wing and the left wing answer. All right. So I'm delighted to be here. We've been asked, as Professor Munger said, to talk about the cultural effect of markets. So do markets benefit culture? Do they help culture? Or do they destroy culture? And I think the answer is clearly yes. They do both. I think a free and competitive market economy, of which I am a proponent, has positive effects on culture and society. Most notably, of course, it has lifted millions of people out of poverty and benefits the lowest ranks, as Ryan Hanley said this morning. Yet at the same time, it also does have negative effects. And so perhaps it's appropriate that a free market, which teaches us so much about trade-offs, is itself a trade-off. There are good things and there are trade-offs. There are bad things that come from a market economy. Now, before any attempt to discuss kind of the effects of capitalism on culture or free markets on culture, I think we probably need to ask, what do we mean by capitalism? Right? And we also need to ask what we mean by culture. And there are various types of capitalism. There's managerial capitalism, crony capitalism, oligarchic capitalism, etc. Now, while I think it's true in the United States that we do not have a free competitive market economy as much as we have managerial crony capitalism, or what I like to call Davos capitalism, and I think it's very important that we do make these distinctions. For my remarks, I want to avoid the type of kind of socialist trap that say, you know, if we really tried socialism, it would work. And so I want to take the Platonic form of the free market. I want to analyze markets, you know, in their best possible manner. So what I'd like to do is four things briefly. One is briefly discuss some of the positive things. Second, discuss some of the negatives. Third, try to make a few distinctions between what's intrinsic and extrinsic to a market economy. That is, those things that are part of capitalism and free markets and those other things that kind of go alongside it. And then fourth, conclude by looking to Tocqueville and his work on democracy as maybe a guide to mitigate some of the negative effects of market economies. So there's an argument, I think, oftentimes from people who support markets, that markets are neutral, that they simply allocate resources and what matters is what you put in them. So if garbage goes in, garbage goes out. If good things go in, good things go out. Now, I think obviously there's partial truth to this because culture does impact market. I would argue that contrary to a kind of Marxian or an kind of broad view that economics is the driving force of culture, I don't think that's the case. I think cultus, I think religion, I think technology, a host of other things are drivers. And so, but at the same time, I don't think markets are neutral. And in fact, that they do impact both positively and negatively on culture. So first, the positive. Obviously, as I noted, I mean, free competitive market economies lift millions of people out of poverty. They enable us to sit in this room, drink bottled water, Starbucks, and have this conversation. Free competitive market economy creates the conditions for entrepreneurship, for creativity and innovation that George Gilder talked about last night. But it also plays an important role in preserving political and religious liberty, primarily because, as I'll talk about, essential part of a market economy is private property, and private property creates space for families to live out their freedom and their responsibility. And whether a market is efficient or not economically, it has deep importance for families, because it is in the family that culture, cultus, religion, and morality are primarily passed down. So if we think about a market economy in light, I think the first way to think about the positives is to actually start with what are the institutions that make up a market economy, right? And so, I mean, all of you, I think, know this, but it's maybe worth repeating. So the first, of course, is clear title to land. In some of my work over the last couple of years where I've dealt with poverty in the developing world, you know, many countries, 50, 60% of the land has no clear title. We don't know who owns the, if you don't know who owns the land you live on, you have no incentive to develop it. It might be taken away from you, especially if you're a widow or an orphan. The second, so this clear title of land. The second, I think, institution of justice that's part of a market economy is access to justice in the courts and just ability to get your court case heard. Again, looking at the developing world, I think, is instructive. So the Center for Research in India did a study where it takes an average of 20 years to get your court case heard. Right? It's also very expensive. So again, if you're poor, if you're excluded, a widow, an orphan, you really don't have access to justice. Second, part of this access to justice is the ability to register your business in the formal economy. Right? And so many of you, of course, are familiar with Hernando de Soto's work where he tried to set up a little business and it took 289 days. And he has, I thought, a powerful line. He said, the legal systems are simply unfriendly to poor people. So really, this part of a market economy are these institutions of justice. When I was in Kenya, I met a man named Joshua Omoga. He borrowed $8 from a friend to start a little business. He was in Kibera, which is one of the largest slums in Africa. And he said, I can't get private property. I can't register my business. So he was trying to live without the institutions of justice that make up a market economy. And here was this very entrepreneurial person that if he were here, would be very successful. But there he was locked out. He was excluded. And I think the final, I mean, there are more to this, but the final I'd like to touch is free exchange. That is the ability to engage in trade without undue burden under these judicial and regulatory framework, right? And this is most important for the poorest of the poor. Because when an economy is highly regulated, who do you think writes the regulations, right? Big business, powerful interest groups like trade unions and on, and an entrenched bureaucracy. So the poorest of the poor lack the political, economic, and social contacts to navigate this system that's dominated by these powerful interest groups. So I think the first in saying, okay, what are the benefits of a market economy is kind of breaking apart a market economy into the institutions of justice, saying, okay, how do these benefit human flourishing, family life, et cetera? Now, there are also cultural things that benefit, I think, from a market economy, right? One, you see higher levels of non-kin trust in market economies. John Meadowcroft and Mark Pennington have written about this in a little IEA monograph. My colleague Sam Gregg is here. His book, The Commercial Society, addresses some of these positive cultural things that take place that have to do with business and work and a host of other things. So I think it's clear that there are some positives and that these positives are morally good. They're not just neutral. So let me move to part two, which are the negatives. I think there are some undeniable negatives. Okay, some of the obvious ones come from the dynamic nature of a free market economy. So you have what Joseph Schumpeter, of course, called creative destruction. From this comes volatility, structural employment as one business goes out and another industry comes to replace it, urbanization, negative effects on traditional culture. When you have globalization comes in, it shakes things up. It creates difficulties. And that's not just in Africa. That's here in the United States and Europe. I mean, you look at what happened, say, over the last 100 years on how we relate to each other. Markets have had a profound impact on that. Some positive and some, I think, obviously negative. Mobility is a positive thing, but it also creates individualism, vulgarity, uniformity. It's interesting. You have this kind of all markets can both bring incredible amounts of difference and at the same time kind of homogenization, right, because of efficiency. And I think markets can also exacerbate the negative effects of individualism in democratic societies. So in a commercial society, I would also argue that there can easily develop a certain type of utilitarian attitude that sees everything in cost-benefit terms. So everything becomes transactional or acquisitive. And so having possessing trumps being, no pun intended. And what you see is what C.S. Lewis calls the trousered ape, right? Who says that the man who looks at the ocean and thinks, how much salt can I get out of it so I can sell it to somebody else? And so I think it was Rousseau who said, in liberal commercial society, men think of themselves when they are with others and of others when they are alone. And of course, I think the final negative I'd like to talk about is really consumerism, right? This constant marketing and advertising. In her book, Born to Buy, Juliet Shore describes how companies' marketing policies bypass parents and go directly to children. So they even have marketing people in the bathrooms of children, watching them take baths, watching them get dressed, watching them play, so they can figure out how you can sell things to them, And there's something disordered in this. I believe Nickelodeon, MTV, and VH1 are owned by the same company. Right? So when you're young, you get to be turned into a kind of a vulgar, sassy, distracted consumer through Nickelodeon. And then when you move into your teen years, you can enter into kind of a narcissistic, violent sexuality of MTV, and then just kind of ease on to the grave through VH1. Right? And So I think while it's undeniable that capitalism has some negative effects on culture, at the same time, it's important not to claim that all of these things are directly the result of capitalism. So, for example, industrialism is related to capitalism, but it's not the same thing. So we need to make a distinction. Is this the result of industrialism or a free and competitive market economy? And so I think we need to make distinctions between the cultural effects caused by capitalism, those effects aided and abetted by capitalism. And that doesn't exonerate markets. I'm just saying, I think we need to make those distinctions. And then finally, those things that exist alongside it, but are not capitalism, they're conflated with it. Okay, so for example, it's much easier to talk about capitalism than to diagnose problems that lie deep within modern liberal society, such as nominalism, empiricist rationality, and radical concepts of autonomy. These things which cause a lot of problems aren't necessarily market problems, right? Because you have markets existing without those things. Capitalism also acts as a proxy for other issues which would be politically incorrect to address directly. So for example, criticizing capitalism is much easier than criticizing democracy or equality. So Alexis de Tocqueville said that he thought that equality, if you all remember this, leads to a love of comfort. And so I actually think Tocqueville's right, that the primary cause of consumerism is not a market economy. It's actually equality and then another spiritual malaise. That's a spiritual problem, not necessarily an economic problem. But it's undeniable that capitalist market economy can exacerbate it. Can you imagine a contemporary politician in the United States criticizing equality, like, we have too much equality? Right? This is never going to happen. So oftentimes, capitalism becomes this proxy. So I think while we have to take serious the negatives, we also have to make these distinctions. So this talk of Tocqueville leads me to my final point. So with the negatives, what can be done to gain the benefits of a market economy while mitigating, at least to a point, some of the negatives? We often hear this image of a fast-growing economy as a tiger, right? Like the Asian tigers or the Celtic tiger. Now, tiger is a great image because tigers are very powerful and they can accomplish things, but they also wreak a lot of havoc and they create a lot of social volatility and the problems. This is where you see early in the industrial period this idea of the social question, like what's happening in society. And so there's a trade-off then between economic growth, which gets people out of poverty, new technology, and it has negative effects on people. Some people are left behind. So Tocqueville's worried, he said, one of the ways to stop the corrosive effects of individualism and equality are by local politics, civil society, and religion, because these pull people out of individualism. And I would argue that these same things also play a role in mitigating the negative effects of a free market on culture. They ease the difficulties of volatility. Families can be a bulwark against consumerism or against structural changes. And I think, but what we have now, unfortunately, is the worst possible combination. We have high levels of political centralization, managerial crony capitalism, a secular egalitarian culture, alongside decreasing participation in civil society and marriage, especially among the poor and middle class, as people like Charles Murray, Robert Putnam, and Brad Wilcox, among others, have pointed out. And all of these things, this breaking down of civil society, actually amplifies the negative effects on market economies. So I think in order for a healthy market economy to flourish and to not be a cultural disaster, we do need these kind of strong civil ties. So let me conclude. I think that free markets are an essential part of human flourishing. They're important for the poorest of the poor. They're important for religious liberty and for economic and political liberty. Yet, like any institution, they are not perfect. And I think it's important work to be done. You know, many of the cultural critics are on the left. There are some also on the right, of course. And I think a lot of the cultural critics have things to say, but they also don't appreciate or give enough weight to the positive of what market economies do. And so I think this is something that we need to do, at least those of us who support market economies, as I do, to be willing to really not be reactive when the markets are critiqued, but say, okay, that's true, but let's make distinctions and let's analyze it, because I think if we're not making the case and we're not arguing the good and the bad, we end up looking like ideologues who don't want to listen to anything else, and this makes it hard for us to communicate our ideas, and so I'm delighted to be here and discuss these things. Thank you for your time.